Today on Real Radio.
Now he lives in San Diego, goes to a Bible teaching church. The FBI and CIA is going to start using him because he knows all this stuff about Hamas. And all he wants to do, he says, I tell people about Jesus everywhere I go. What happened?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the first verses of chapter 18, wherein the Messiah gives an analogy on prayer. What is prayer? As a believer, do you pray enough? Do you somehow think your prayers are not worthy to be heard? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It.
What a great thing that is, our strength. It's found when we pray. Listen, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. How strong are we? Well, I don't know. How strong is God? In the situation, church, listen, in the situation that you are either in right now or that you're approaching or that you may fear may come upon you, listen to this. Because of doubt, because of unbelief, because we don't read the Bible to assimilate it into our very lives as a discipline, it's not a priority, and so we begin to play with this thing of prayer. Oh, why should I go to a prayer meeting? Or why should I pray about this? My friend, it should be the exact opposite. You say, well, Pastor, this message doesn't apply to me because things are going great in my life. Listen, cheer up. Difficult days are coming for you, and you need to be praying now. You need to be praying. But listen, in prayer is our strength. And that is a great promise. Point number two is this. Don't just stand there, pray about it. Christian, your God is willing to answer you. I love this. I wish I knew this when I was a new Christian. It took 30 years for me to get it. But God is willing to answer you and I. Look at verses 4 through 6. And he would not for a while. That is, the judge wouldn't listen to her. He wouldn't answer her. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Contrast. I love this. The Lord is never avoiding you, Christian. You need to slap yourself right now and hear that. Don't you feel, though? Come on. Don't you feel at times God's avoiding you? Yes, you do. Do you feel like God doesn't answer you sometimes? Oh, yeah, you do. But guess what? That's not what's going on. You say, oh, yeah, you don't know. I've been praying about this thing. I never got an answer. Oh, no. You're getting an answer. In fact, I'm going to give you an argument in a moment that he answers you faster than you think. Here's the truth. You and I, because we're viewing prayer and the answer to prayer often wrong, we miss the answer because we don't approve of the answer. The answer comes, it's like getting something in the mail. It's like, what? What's this? Maybe you've been waiting for something and it comes in an envelope that you were expecting to be red, white, and blue, and it comes brown, and you look at it and go, and you throw it away. What's this? It was the answer, but it didn't meet your approval. And you and I are tempted to be the lords of our own life. Dear God, now this is what I want you to do. And you tell God what to do. It's kind of like that little boy. Dr. J. Vernon McGee talks about that little boy who said, Dear God, I want a bicycle for Christmas. And so he goes downstairs and he says, Daddy, I want a bicycle for Christmas. And the dad says, go ask your mom. And so the kid goes to the mom and says, Mommy, I want a bicycle for Christmas. So back and forth for months, Mommy, Daddy, I want a bicycle for Christmas. Now, what does the kid want? He wants a bicycle. What do you want? Insert it into that line, into this story. So finally, the kid's so frustrated, and the parents tell him, look, Junior, it doesn't look very good for you to get a bicycle this year. Things are tough. So the parents said, why don't you pray about it, Johnny? You just pray about it and see what God says. No, put the blame on God there. You just pray about it. So the mom and little boy driving home from school one day, and the mom says, I got to pull over. I got to get something from the store. And do you remember back in the old days, they used to have a little statue of Mary holding baby Jesus on the dashboard glued onto the dash of the car, which always cracked me up because they always had Mary facing at you. Why don't you turn her around so you can see where you're going? What do you have her looking at you for? Turn around looking at the highway. And the little boy looked around. He had his little sack lunch, and the mom's out of the car, and he looks around, and he snaps Mary off at the ankles, puts her in the bag, and rolls up his brown bag, and he says, and he folds his hands, and he says, dear God, if you ever want to see your son again, you'll get me that bicycle. A lot of Christians pray like that. I want it this way. God, who knows best, gives us the answer. We don't identify it and recognize the answer when it comes. He's not avoiding you. He's not avoiding you at all. Listen to this. Here's my argument. I believe God hears us instantly, and sometimes he answers instantly, maybe an hour or two later. I don't know. But I'm convinced now God answers my prayers, and I don't recognize his answer when it comes because I don't approve of the answer. Here it is. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. Listen to this carefully. I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no bread, no meat, no wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Verse 10. Suddenly the hand of the angel had touched me, which made me to tremble. I went to my knees and on the palms of my hands. Verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the, what is it? First day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me these 21 days. Demonic forces. Demonic powers of the prince of Persia fighting with the angel in the atmosphere and delay of bringing the answer to Daniel. When was his prayer heard? The first day. When was the answer given? The first day. The Bible tells us there's demonic realms that are involved. Certainly true. There's also the fact that I often don't recognize. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cries. That's you and I. I know that there's a sense of unworthiness and fear that we have, but it's wrong. I want to say to you, with all love, grow up. Get over it. Deal with it. You are worthy through Jesus Christ. All of us are sinners. None of us deserve heaven, but we're going. That's part of the sweetness of it all. Listen, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why he's the righteous one. You say, yeah, but it just said here that his ear and eye is always open to listen and to hear the prayer of the righteous. That's right. God hears me every time I pray. Well, you arrogant pastor, you. No. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, but the Bible says that the Lord has declared me righteous. I believe what's written. Therefore, when I pray, like John 15:7, Jesus says, pray my word, the Bible, and I'll answer you. So how do you get answered prayer? Pray Bible. God loves to hear Bible in our prayer. And when I pray that, me, a rotten little stinking sinner, when I pray Bible, I know he's going to answer. And I expect the answer. We need to do that. And then also this. Your God is willing to answer you. Verses 4 and 5. The Lord is never tired of you. He's never tired. The Bible says here, but afterward he said within himself, I don't fear God. I don't like people, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. You got to mark this word weary. Hupotadzo in Greek. So what does that mean? It means this. It means to strike the eye repeatedly. It's a term taken from the Greek Olympics for a boxer. When a boxer hits the eye, boom, hey, he thinks, his eye's getting red. What does a boxer do when he sees his opponent's eye getting red? He hits it again. On the eyeball. In fact, he forgets the other parts. If I can open up that eye, he's going to bleed. That's the word that this woman, the judge says, that's it. She is boxing my eye to the point of bleeding. She's not hitting him. It's worse. She's everywhere he goes. I want justice. I want justice. I want you to avenge me of my enemy. And the judge says, I've had it. That's it. She's giving me a black eye. She's driving me crazy. I'm going to answer her. You guys, God's not like that. You and I suffer so much unnecessarily because we don't ask God to get involved in the things of our lives. Don't raise your hand. How many of you are single? Do you want a husband? Do you want a wife?
Yep, yep.
Well, what are you doing about it? Oh, man, I'm dressing nice, using the right cologne. I mean, take care of yourself. You know, that's fine. Do all that stuff. No one wants you around here stinking and looking ugly. That's fine. But that's not how you do it. Why don't you pray and God will bring her or God will bring him? You say, oh, yeah, well, I was just supposed to pray and she's going to, like, drop onto my porch. No, you pray and you get up and you live your life for the glory of God, and guess what? You're going to bump into him. You're going to bump into her. So many people struggle unnecessarily because they're not asking him. It's not good. He wants to answer us. And you don't have to punch his eye out regarding that. And we whine. We begin to whine to God. Biblically, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:7 that Paul the Apostle had a sickness. And he asked God 3 times to take it away. 3 times. God didn't take it away. Then it says that God spoke to him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Now look, we will ask God something. Listen, God, do this. God, do this. What about right now? I need a healing, God. I need a healing. Heal me. Pray in faith. Pray believing. If it's God's will, it's going to happen. Ah, that's the part, Jack, I don't like to hear. If it's God's will. Yeah, well, too bad. That's just the way it is. God knows better than you. He knows what's best for you and I. But here's the cool thing. What if he doesn't heal me? Then guess what? You can get up and thank God for that cancer or for that hangnail or for that bloody nose. You see, are you kidding me? No, because number one, he loves you in a way that you and I are trying to grasp the understanding of it. It's so big. Yeah, but cancer's the worst. It is the worst without God. But we have God. And he's answering something. For example, I got to tell you, I've always prayed, Lord, use me. God, use me. I prayed when I was a brand new Christian, 1977. God, I'd love to tell people about you. I stuttered so bad, I could never speak publicly, barely to my wife. It was horrible and embarrassing. 77, I got saved. 79, I got married. 80, 81, 82, around 1983, I got healed. I was healed down in Newport Beach in an instant, healed. But I had prayed all along the way, oh God, I'd love to tell people about you. I'd love, Lord God, to proclaim your word. I didn't have any aspiration to be a pastor or a missionary. No. I just wanted to tell people. God touched. I'm completely blown away. But I got to tell you, every time I'm going to speak for the Lord, I'm gripped with, you're not supposed to know this. This is top secret information. I am gripped with fear before I come up and open up my mouth in front of people regarding the things of God. If I was selling Amway, no problem. But because it has to do with God, I tremble on the inside because I get this fear that he's going to somehow allow that to be taken away. That's not from God. That's from the enemy playing in my head. So what are you saying, Jack? You're driving me nuts here. No, it's the weakness that now I thank my God for it. Because you know what? At any moment, the Lord could say, Jack, you're out of here. This is his church. I didn't die for you. You come here to hear the word of God. I don't play with you. Yeah, well, we don't like you, Pastor. It doesn't matter if you don't like me or not. He loves me. I'm working for him. I love you, but I'm working for him. He's the one that's touched me, and he's the one who could say, Jack, move right, move left, sit down, stand up. And in that, in my weakness, I'm strong. Because if he gives me the moment, if I arrive to this pulpit, I have full confidence that he's going to work in my life. Why? Because he got me here. Everything that comes to your life, my friend, is Father filtered by God. What's going on? Know this, if you're a Christian, it's been filtered by the Father. Did you know Satan couldn't touch Job without getting permission from God? How much more for you? He'll never reject you, verse 6 teaches us. The Lord will never reject you and I. He's not rejecting us. Jesus says, hear what the unjust judge said. What's that mean? If the judge who's wicked gave in, how much more will your loving Father give to you? I'm going to leave you with this. In John chapter 17, it's the entire chapter. It's technically what is really the Lord's Prayer. You may think the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew. It's not found in Matthew. That's our prayer. When Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this, that's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is right here in John chapter 17. You see, why do you point that out? You can read that prayer later. It's lengthy. It's beautiful. Notice the massive collection of red letters. It's Jesus' longest statement, and it's a prayer. And guess what it's a prayer about? It's about you. He's praying in that prayer, Father, thank you. And Lord, I'm coming to see you, Father. And I've given them my word, and I've given them your word. And he prays, make them one as you and I are one. And Jesus gives this incredible prayer that's for you. And here's the beauty of it. If today you will simply say, Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm praying. For example, Lord, this wonderful prayer of John 17, I want to know, Lord, the absolute unity and closeness that you have purposed for my life. Jesus, when you prayed to your Father and you said, make them one as you and your Father are one, I want to know that oneness. And church, listen, will you trust the Lord enough to let him answer that his way? Will you not manipulate your prayers with him anymore? Instead of boxing the eye and complaining and whining, can you say maybe three times, Lord, I'm asking you to do this, and if not, let me accept the grace that comes into my life to live with it? And he'll do that. Today, are you not sure if you're a Christian? Did you know that you being here, I mean, I know that there's been human circumstances that's got you here, but did you know that God was using human circumstances to get you here? It's really, he's been behind the scenes the whole time. Did you know that he wants you? He's calling you into his kingdom. The decision's yours to come in or not, but he wants you. Hey, did anybody see last night on the news, one of the Hamas generals, his son, who was heir to the throne of that place in that position in Hamas, terrorist organization. Did you see what happened to his son? His son got arrested by the Israeli army and put into a prison in Megiddo, in Armageddon, Megiddo. While he was in prison, he watched Hamas torture other Hamas members, some of them to death. And he said, well, that's not right. And he began to hear things done in the name of Allah. And he said, well, that's weird. When he was released, he was walking down the old city of Jerusalem, and there was an Arab man who was simply saying, anybody want to read the Bible? Come to my apartment tonight. Anybody want to read the Bible? Come to my apartment tonight. And this guy took him up on the offer, and he went to his apartment to read the Bible. He had never read the Bible before. He began to read the Bible. All they did is sit around and read the Bible. The Hamas kid, heir to the throne of Hamas, this is on the news last night, winds up reading the Bible. Then he goes into the wilderness with his Quran and his Bible, and he read them both, books open side by side, and he was out there for many, many days, and he concluded, this book is nuts. He said, it's nuts, and it's for sick people, the Quran. And the Bible is a book of love. It's told me to love my enemies. And he said, I decided this is the book for me. Now he lives in San Diego, goes to a Bible teaching church. The FBI and CIA is going to start using him because he knows all this stuff about Hamas. And all he wants to do, he says, I tell people about Jesus everywhere I go. What happened? The same thing that friends that I know who have come out of Islam to Christ, Waleed Shubat, one of them, said, "All I know," and I've heard this numerous testimonies, "all I know, when I prayed to Allah, there was nothing happened, and I felt no response. And the moment," I've heard this time and time again, "the moment I prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I felt him listening to me, and I became a Christian." You and I don't understand that. We're used to it. Oh, my friend, today maybe you're not a Christian. I'm going to give you this challenge. Will you pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of this Bible? Will you say, "Lord, is this for real? Speak to me." I challenge you. I'm just wondering, do you have the tummy for it? Can you handle it? Don't be surprised if he wraps you up, squeezes you, and gives you a big kiss and says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore it's with loving kindness I draw you." You need Christ today. And Christians, for all of us, we need to pray in an attitude of prayer like never before.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called "Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It." It's a look at a section in Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 18, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we also want to let you in on what Pastor Jack and the church family are studying currently, 1 Corinthians. Now, to say that a study in 1 Corinthians is relevant is an understatement, especially if you know the issues that Paul had to deal with there. In fact, Pastor Jack would like to tell us more about this series that's now available on DVD. Pastor Jack?
Well, Mike, thank you. And the series that you're referring to is entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners. And no doubt by now I've got everyone's attention when I mention the word sex. And what has happened here at church is a study has gone forth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 regarding a problem that was existing at the church 2,000 years ago. And I would say that it's a problem that churches and Christians struggle with today. And this is the area of sexual immorality. And let me tell you, Paul pulled no punches when he delivered his critique and his assessment, and then finally his judgment on what to do with those who are in the church who are willfully committing sexual immorality. In Paul's address to the Corinthians, he even goes after the rebuking of and admonishing the church leadership. Because what happened back in Corinth 2,000 years ago is that they had these sins going on in the church, but the leadership didn't do a thing about it. They didn't confront it. They didn't deal with it. And what happens is that they wound up labeling it graciousness and loving and tolerant. And all the while, they were destroying the witness of the church at Corinth. Boy, you know, if I remove the word Corinth, it sounds like some ministry that you might be thinking about today. Well, for all these reasons and more, we want to make available to you what we're studying right here at church, and that is the book of Corinthians and this three-part series of Saints, Sex, and Sinners. How should leadership deal with sexual immorality among the saints? What does the Bible say regarding church discipline? And how should all of us walk in the fear of the Lord when it comes to how to conduct ourselves in the house of God? And so I encourage all of you to get a copy of this series, and I think it will strengthen your walk. It will certainly generate conversation. And Mike, you can tell the people how they can obtain their own copy.
Why, sure. For a gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-RADIO. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.